Hey everyone, welcome back to another Dynasty Team Preview here on South Harmon. I am Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL, and I am joined alongside Koopa as well. So Carolina Panthers are today's episode. Head coach is the new guy who came over from Tampa, Dave Canales, and he brought over offensive coordinator Brad Idzik. Kind of watched some other documentary YouTube series on these guys, two young guys, two hungry guys. I've loved Canales' work he's done the last 2 years. He was with Geno Smith in his breakout year, and then last year really resurrected Baker Mayfield. So I'm kind of hoping the same here for Bryce Young. The key players who left here for the Panthers, not very many. DJ Chark and Laviska Shenault have moved on. Targets and vacated air yards, 117 targets and 1,293 air yards. Quarterbacks, Koopa, go ahead, start with the quarterbacks here for the Panthers.
Yeah, so we have Bryce Young, the first overall pick from 2023. Last season was a rough year for him. He had a PFF grade of 56, so that was 35th of 38. So he just did not do very well. Like, he had a really rough year. Some of that is potentially just all the turmoil that was on that team. I hate to bring up the owner in the conversation of a team, because usually the owner doesn't have much to do with them, but it kind of looks like that David Tepper is being a little too involved and not doing a great job. And so it's affecting the culture of the team and all sorts of things like that. And they do not have what they need around Bryce Young, at least last year. They're hoping to fix that somewhat this year, and we'll talk about that when we get to the other positions and the guys they brought in. But last year, Bryce Young did not have what he needed in order to succeed in the NFL, and that definitely showed. They have Andy Dalton as their backup still, and he has been a solid backup. He's one of those backups that anytime he ends up getting some starts is a guy that I'm considering putting in my lineup. He's really solid, and he will go out there and throw the ball a bunch of times. And sure, he may not be the kind of quarterback that is going to throw you a perfect game. Like, if he was that, obviously he'd be starting somewhere, but he'll go out there and he'll keep them competitive. And he, in terms of for fantasy stats, he'll be the kind of guy that, yeah, he might throw you a couple interceptions, but he's also going to get you a few touchdowns and a bunch of passing yards. So for fantasy purposes, that's what we care more about, especially from our backup quarterback. They also assigned Jake Plummer, a 2024 UDFA from Louisville. He wasn't anything exciting at Louisville in terms of like what I think could translate to the NFL level, but he should probably stick around as the third quarterback on this team and be that emergency guy. And if Bryce Young were to go down for an extended period of time, I also wouldn't be surprised that Jack Plummer gets a shot somewhere in there just for them to see what they have. But at least initially, do I think he's the backup that I would want him on my any QB on a two deep strategy? No, I'll leave him on the waiver wire and pick him up if I think that he's closer to getting a start.
I was going to correct you. You did say Jake Plummer the first time. So it is Jack Plummer. Yeah, Jake Plummer, 50-year-old Jake Plummer isn't going to be coming back to the NFL anytime soon. But I really like Bryce Young and Dave Canales as a duo here. I think, obviously, it's not perfect, the weapons that they have here, but they have upgraded the offensive line quite a bit. They upgraded the wide receivers quite a bit here. They got him a receiving tight end. They got him the best running back in the draft. So the Panthers did make a big effort this year to get Bryce Young some weapons, and I like a lot of the weapons that they brought in. So I think Bryce Young is undervalued in Dynasty right now. I think that's a guy, like, if you can get him as your quarterback too in some of these startup leagues you're doing right now, or even your quarterback three, I think you're sitting pretty. I think Bryce Young definitely ceiling is still pointing up here. His arrow's pointing up. On to the running backs here. So obviously I mentioned Jonathan Brooks, the best running back in the draft, in my opinion. They got him in the second round. They actually traded back and then traded up a couple spots to get him and secure him. So that was nice to see. Chuba Hubbard is his backup, who had a really good year last year. PFF grade last year was 77.2, 16th of 59. Miles Sanders is still there with a shitty contract. PFF grade of 60.8, 54 to 59 last year from Miles Sanders. He's just probably somebody who's not going to die. I think they can't afford to cut him. He's going to probably get a couple carries here a game, but it wouldn't shock me if he did end up being like the backup here over Hubbard at some point if he can get his stuff together. Rashad Penny they also brought in as well. I think they're just kind of kicking the tires on him. Raheem Blackshear is still there. Mike Boone, the veteran, is there. And then Jaden Sheridan, a UDFA from Monmouth, they brought in. They only kept three running backs last year. I think it's probably going to be four this year. I'm going to go with Brooks, Hubbard, Miles Sanders, and one of Penny or Blackshear. And I'm probably going to lean Blackshear just because of his special teams ability, and Penny can't really play on special teams. And then real quick on Jonathan Brooks from Dane Brugler. Overall, Brooks is a springy, balanced athlete with a feel for lane development and the elusive traits to create his own yardage, both at the line of scrimmage and on the second level. Stylistically, he reminds me of Kenyon Drake, although Brooks has much better vision and big play potential, assuming he returns to his pre-injury form. Obviously, he tore his ACL late in the season last year at Texas, but amassed a really, really good season before then. His PFF grade in college was 91.5, 187 carries, 1,135 yards, 10 touchdowns, 25 catches on 29 targets for 286 yards. His grades in the schemes were 90 in a zone and 84.5 in a gap scheme. 63 missed tackles, which were tied for 23rd in the nation. Go ahead with your thoughts on the running backs, Koopa.
Yeah, so Jonathan Brooks is obviously going to be the running back one of the future here. The only question is just really, when does he exactly get back? He did tear his ACL in mid-November of last year, and so he might not be ready to go when the season gets started, or if he is ready to go, he might still be suffering a little bit of that. We see it with other guys that tear their ACL. They usually take a season in order to actually get back to full strength, full playing ability, things like that. And never mind the fact that he's a rookie, so he doesn't have any NFL snap experience. So he's more than likely, I think, going to be eased in over the course of this season. He might be one of those guys that if you're drafting him in, say, a redraft league, you would be drafting him with the expectation you're going to bench him for like the first 10 weeks, and then maybe he'll help you make a playoff run or something like that. Just want to make sure we set expectations there with Jonathan Brooks, and he's being drafted at running back 36. I think that is totally fine for what you're expecting. So if he's not going to be doing a ton at the beginning of the season, obviously we need to look to somebody else, and that would be Chuba Hubbard. As Eric went over, he did really well last year, especially towards the end of last year. He was taking the bulk of the carries for this team. I think Chuba Hubbard comes out and he plays most of the snaps, gets most of the carries at the beginning of the year, and it transitions away from him to Jonathan Brooks, maybe into more of like a 50-50 split sort of thing. As the season goes on, I don't think either of them is going to fully take it over this year. Miles Sanders, Eric alluded to, he's got he said a horrendous contract. Horrendous for the Panthers, amazing for Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders, I just don't think they can afford to cut him. So I think he's going to be the third running back on this team, and that is just going to be one of those things. They just got to suck it up, and they've got to deal with the fact that he's going to be their third running back. I think Raheem Blackshear will also probably make the roster. He could potentially even play as the third running back at points. We saw him in the past like take a little bit of a pass-catching role for the Panthers, which I thought was interesting, but he's definitely more of a kick-return guy. And with the new kick-return rules, I think that having him back there with that kick-return experience is going to be pretty valuable, and so that's going to keep him on the roster. And then that ends up with Rashad Penny, Mike Boone, and Jaden Sheridan either cut or on the practice squad.
All right, now let's take a look at the wide receivers here for the Panthers. They made a nice trade for Deontay Johnson to kind of get Bryce Young that number one X receiver, and that's what they kind of talked about in their YouTube series. They said they designed, you know, or designed getting Deontay Johnson to make him the X receiver, to make him the go-to guy. So I would expect Deontay Johnson to have one of his better seasons of his career this year as the main focal point of the passing game. His PFF grade last year was 77.9, which was 25th of 128. So a really good season last year from Deontay. Xavier Leggett, they drafted him in the first round. Kind of watching the YouTube series, this was the guy they were targeting. It sounded like they were kind of going after Xavier Worthy or Leggett. They sounds like they wanted some speed, so they were targeting this guy. They really, really liked this guy a lot, from the ownership to the coaches that they were, you know, talking about. So this is a guy that they coveted. Adam Thielen, really good year last year. We kind of talk about it on America's Game here on 620. If you're listening to that episode, Adam Thielen is very underrated right now in fantasy leagues. His PFF grade last year was 72.7, which was 44th of 128. For a guy who caught 100 balls last year and still getting it done, very, very underrated. Jonathan Mingo had a poor rookie season. His PFF grade last year was 54.7, which was 1/10 of 128. Terrace Marshall Jr. is still on this team. His PFF grade last year was 54.8, which is 108th of 128. They still have Amir Smith-Marset, Mike Strawn, Cam Sims, David Moore, Daywood Davis, Sam Pinckney, a UDFA out of Coastal Carolina, and Jalen Coker, a UDFA out of Holy Cross that they actually spent quite a bit of money on last year. They kept 7 wide receivers on their initial 53-man roster last year. Before I get into that, though, let's talk a little bit about Leggett. Leggett overall needs to continue developing his route proficiency and tempo, but his film gives off DK Metcalf vibes, and he has the explosive speed and physicality to be a matchup weapon. He should be an immediate contributor on special teams before competing for starting reps outside. His PFF grade last year was 82.5, 71 catches on 97 targets, 1,255 yards, 7 touchdowns, 415 snaps, 141 in the slot, 268 out wide, so he can play a little bit of both. 85.6 versus man, which is really nice. He only had 2 drops. 6.4 was his yak, which is tied for 112th in the nation. ADOT was 13.8, tied for 118th in the nation. 13 catches on 554 yards on deep balls, and 24 catches from the slot for 443 yards. So really good senior season there for Leggett. So keeping 7 might be a little too rich. I think it's probably more along the 6th line. I'm going to go with Deontay Johnson, Leggett, Adam Thielen, and Mingo are pretty much locks for 4 spots. And then these other guys, I think David Moore has got a shot. He played really a couple games last year for them down the stretch that he performed pretty well. I like Smith-Marset as a return guy. I think he can make a chance here. Strawn and Cam Sims, Terrace Marshall, those guys definitely have a shot. But I think it's going to go to Jalen Coker. I've picked him up in a couple leagues as a UDFA wide receiver. I know those are definitely long shots, but sounds like, you know, they liked him. Did pretty decent in OTAs from what I heard. So that's a guy I think could make this team over these other guys. I think he gives them a little bit more than them, and hopefully over the training camps and preseason games, Jalen Coker can have a little bit of a run to make on this roster. So I'm excited to see that. How about you, Koopa, on these wide receivers?
Yeah, I think Deontay Johnson, Xavier Leggett, Thielen, Mingo, I think those 4 are locks. I do think that Terrace Marshall Jr. has a shot at showing something to this new coaching staff, but if he does not make the team, I think that's career over for him completely. I know some people have been holding out for him for a good while, like even in best ball leagues and whatever. This is like the last chance that I have for him. And even then, I'm still kind of iffy on whether I want to hold on to him. But I do really like Jalen Coker. Even before the draft, I saw some people in on him and things like that. And so like He seems to have enough of a community that likes him specifically that I feel like there should be something there. And so I would not be surprised to see that he ends up sneaking in as a sixth wide receiver on this team or something like that. And everyone else is fighting for a roster spot. And I don't know that any of them really have a huge edge besides the fact that Amir Smith-Marset has some return experience and things like that. So he's probably the only guy out of all the rest outside the top four that has a little bit of an edge. But I could see Jalen Coker just there's enough buzz around him that makes that I'm not somebody that's a player scout. I never will be. But when I hear a lot of people talk about somebody, I take note of that. And so Jalen Coker is just one of those guys that even though he is a UDFA, enough people like him that we should be taking note.
Yeah, especially at the wide receiver position. I don't, just me and you have done almost every division so far. I don't think there has been one UDFA wide receiver that we felt fairly confident was going to make the team out of
I
all the
don't think so
divisions that
either.
we've done so
And
far. So
I'm
that's
not
saying a lot.
necessarily even confident that Jalen Coker is going to make
Right.
the team, but I'm confident that he has a shot,
Yeah.
which is more than we've said about everyone else. And like I would also expect that if he doesn't make the team, he probably ends up on the practice squad. So it's one of those things where it's like he'll at least be around, which is more than a lot of the other UDFA wide receivers that we've seen from the other teams.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's definitely got a shot. We'll see what happens here, especially in training camps and OTAs, mini camps, all that good stuff. I think he's definitely got a shot this year for them. Let's go on to the tight ends here. Jatavion Sanders, who they drafted in the fourth round. Tommy Tremble was the starter last year. His PFF grade last year was 55.6, 52nd of 72. I really like Tommy Tremble when he was coming out. He just hasn't developed yet into like a fully, offensive tight end. He's still a really good blocker, but he's still really young too. So his best years could still be ahead of him. Ian Thomas has been around for quite a while. Steven Salvin had some plays last year for an offense that was making zero plays at all. And then Jordan Matthews, the former Eagles wide receiver, 49ers wide receiver, is out there. I don't see him making the team. He's been pretty injured throughout his career. But they kept five tight ends on their 53-man roster last year. Obviously, a new regime. I think it's going to be four. I think Jatavion Tremble, Ian Thomas, and Steven Sullivan can definitely make this team. And then, real quick here on Jatavion Sanders. Overall, Sanders needs to become more available in his routes and improve his reliability as a blocker. But he is a smooth operator with dynamic talent before, during, and after the catch. He projects as an F tight end, similar to Gerald Everett, with starting upside in the NFL. And then last year at Texas, he had 45 catches for 682 yards and two touchdowns on zero drops, which was nice from him. Overall, in these tight ends, though, I think Sanders, I'm not like expecting like a Sam Laporta type year or anything like that. I think that's really hard to project on anybody. But if Sanders can get me, 40 catches somewhere in the 500 yard range and a couple touchdowns, I think that would be a successful rookie year for him. What do you think about these tight ends?
Yeah, I think Jatavion Sanders, like, I'm excited for him to see what he can do, especially him being a receiving weapon and Bryce Young essentially having no receiving weapons last year. And hopefully having some more wide receivers can help open up the field as well. And so it should allow the tight end to have a little bit more room over the middle to operate in. But I also like Tommy Tremble and Ian Thomas and Steven Sullivan in the past. I would not be surprised to see, as you said, all four of those guys make the roster this year. I don't think that they keep a fifth tight end like they did last year. I think that is a little too much.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised looking at it that they did keep five last year because I'm sitting here going, who would the five tight ends be? Because I know they had Hayden Hurst. I'm like, man, they really went all out
Yeah.
getting that fifth guy. So I think that it is going to be those four. And Jatavion Sanders, I think that there might be some people trying to play a little bit of like, oh, the past couple of years, like a rookie tight end, so they've really broken out. Like I think that Jatavion Sanders likely will quote unquote break out for a rookie tight end, but his breakout for a rookie tight end is going to be pretty useless unless you're in a best ball team, a best ball league, or like you have to start two tight ends, or something like that. And even then, I think that there's enough strategies that I've talked about that he's not really relevant from a fantasy perspective, at least for this upcoming year.
Now let's take a look at the offensive line here. So last year they were 29th. That has a lot to do with how bad this team was last year. So Ikem Ekwonu is the left tackle. His PFF grade last year was 67.4, 40th of 81. So hopefully he gets a little bit better there. His backup is Ricky Lee. This team invested in starting guards this year. So they brought in two new guards. Damian Lewis is going to be the left guard. His PFF grade last year was 59.6, 37th of 79. Cade Mays is his backup. Right now, the listed starting center is Austin Corbett. His PFF grade last year was 47.9, so not very good. Backup was Brady Christensen, 56.7. So I think that's going to be a legit battle between those two. They both have starting experience in the league. Right guard, they gave a massive deal to Robert Hunt from Miami. His PFF grade last year was 76.4, which was sixth of 79 among guards. So they gave him a big deal to come and be the guard, right guard here for the Panthers. Chandler Savala is his backup. And then one of their better linemen from last year was Taylor Moton. PFF grade last year is 74.6, which was 23rd of 81. And Yash Nyman is his backup. Kick returners and punt returners, go ahead with those, Kuba.
Yeah, so kick returner, Raheem Blackshear has done a great job the past couple of years for Carolina, and so I would expect that he's back there kick returning this year. Our lads also list DeShawn Jamison. I don't know too much about his how good he is as a kick returner. I also wouldn't be surprised to see like somebody like Amir Smith-Marset in the running for a kick returner as well. So like at the who the second kick returner would be a little bit of a battle to watch. And then if you have kick return yards, you probably have punt return yards. And unfortunately, Raheem Blackshear is not going to be I don't think he'll be a punt returner. He is not somebody that has a lot of punt return experience. And he seems to be a little bit more of a like almost like a downhill runner kind of player, as opposed to you want a shiftier guy as your punt returner. And that shiftier guy who has some experience on this team would be Amir Smith-Marset. So we were talking about him potentially having the edge up on the wide receiver five spot because he has that punt return ability. That is the it, he's definitely somebody to keep an eye out for as, hey, this is somebody who could make the team as the punt returner. Unfortunately, for fantasy purposes, that means he's not going to be that useful if he only gives you punt return yards, unless you have some crazy scoring or something like that. But if you have that crazy scoring, hopefully you already knew who the punt returners were going to be around the NFL.
So our final thoughts here on the Panthers this year. I think with Canales, Bryce Young should definitely be improved. I'm not expecting him to be some top 12 fantasy quarterback or anything, but I think he can be a solid quarterback too. A little bit of rushing upside. If he can get us 250, 300 rushing yards, maybe a rushing touchdown or two, I think that would be a really nice bonus here from Bryce Young. If he can at least get to the 20 touchdown mark, not too many interceptions, I think that's pretty reasonable. Running backs, I think it's kind of going to be Hubbard, like you said, in the beginning of the year, and then Brooks for the last half of the season. That's kind of what I'm expecting there. Wide receivers, I think Deontay Johnson should be a 120 target guy. Adam Thielen should get, 80, 90 targets. Legette, I'm hoping, gets 80, 90 targets as well if he can stay healthy. He's already dealing with a little bit of a hamstring issue. But yeah, I'm excited for Deontay Johnson, especially this year. And I think Adam Thielen is a good, cheap dynasty buy right now. You can get him for like a third round pick probably. Or even less than that in some cases. And then tight end Sanders, hopefully he has a solid rookie year, 35, 40 catches, 500 yards, couple touchdowns. I think that would be a successful year for him. What about you, Koopa?
Yes, I think that this is one of the things of It does Dave Canales have the magic that helps out the quarterback position and the offense as a whole? If he does, I could see all of these players exceeding their expectation. Bryce Young is currently quarterback 28, Deontay Johnson wide receiver 37, Thielen wide receiver 63, Leggett wide receiver 75, Jatavion Sanders tight end 31. Like every single one of these players, if this offense even gets it put together to like an average amount. We're going to be talking about the Buccaneers here in 2 days, but if they put together their offense at about the level that the Buccaneers did last year, all of these guys are going to perform vastly outperform their current ADP. And so it's one of those things of how much trust do you have in this team of the changes that they've made that they are going to do better. Personally, I love to give the benefit of the doubt to teams. And so like if I was drafting some underdog leagues right now, I would definitely have a few teams where I invest in like a massive Carolina stack. If you look at all these players and like where they're going ADP wise, like you could easily get a bunch of Carolina players, and that could be something that massively improves your team if you just invest in all of them. And so that's the sort of thing where it's like, you kind of need to either decide whether you're in on Carolina or out on Carolina. And I think that there is some value in saying, you know what, I'm going to invest some here just because they all are so cheap. If they don't end up panning out, you aren't losing that much in terms of value. And so those are the kinds of shots that you want to take, especially when it's not an obvious, hey, this team is going to be horrible. We've seen Seattle, we thought was not going to be very good, and Dave Canales makes some magic happen. Tampa Bay, we don't think is going to be very good. Dave Canales is now the OC. Magic happens, and now he's the head coach. So theoretically, this would be all on him, and so I want to personally put a little bit of faith in him, and that hey, we've followed him around, and he's done really well. I don't see a reason why that can't happen here in Carolina as well.
I agree with that. All right, that is going to wrap it up here for the Carolina Panthers on this one. We will be back next with the New Orleans Saints.